pray. Father God, thank you so much, God, for the time in your word, Lord. I pray, God, that this truly is a word that came from you and inspired by you, God. So I pray, Lord, that you give me clarity of words and the ability to just convey this special message, God, and the truths that are contained within. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read first from Deuteronomy 4:24. It says, "The Lord your God is a consuming fire." Say consuming. Consuming. The Lord your God is a consuming fire. Anybody that's been in front of the bonfire in Ashby will attest that that is a consuming fire. Anybody gone to the bonfire and seen it? It's crazy. It's crazy. But that is a consuming fire, and it's a good image for how God is, all-consuming. Fire in the Bible is a symbol of cleansing, of purity, sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. We often hear of a refiner's fire, you know, when the metals are put in and the refiner's fire to bring the beauty out of the metal. It's also a symbol of God's presence, right? In the book of Acts, we hear that when the Spirit came upon them, the tongues of flame were settled upon their heads. So I had this campfire story. Oftentimes I find myself, I bring Libby for swimming lessons. That's part of what we get over there. And so while she was at swimming lessons, I came down to the campsite. And I have a small weakness. Well, not just one. Okay, but this is my, I will attest to this one. I like fire. Right, Woody? I'm a little bit of a pyromaniac. I have a burn barrel, and I burn things. I like to burn things. It's just one of my, so I was at the campfire, and I was like, well, I'm going to do what I like to do, and I'm going to light a fire this morning. And it happened to be after a lot of rain, and it just wasn't going the way that I wanted. And not only that, I think I was a little impatient, so my fire was not catching the way that I wanted my fire to catch. So in the process of watching this fire not really take off, and me getting frustrated is when I really felt like God was speaking to me about all the things about a campfire that we need to take into consideration, not only when we're building a campfire, but for our lives as Christians. So here's the first one. We need to build a fire with the small items first. You can't start with the big logs. Anybody ever try to start a fire? I mean, except for maybe Woody, because he's got one of those things with a propane tank, and he just goes, and it, outside of that. But if you just went to the fire pit, and you took the big logs that you wanted to burn at the end, and stuck them in there, and actually started to light it, it wouldn't happen, right? So we have to get our kindling. Maybe we get that really dried small sticks and some leaves and some things, and then we pile slightly bigger on top of that because we have to give the fire something to grow to, right? It's a constantly building thing. We stack, we layer, and start by lighting at the bottom. So we start with the small things first. There's a good story in the Bible that kind of relates with this. When the Jewish people were exiled in Babylon, they were there for generations. And Jerusalem had been destroyed, the temple had been destroyed, and they were hanging out in Babylon. And eventually, there's a couple of prophets that spoke at that time. Zechariah is one. And Zerubbabel was going to come back and rebuild the temple. And in Zechariah 4, 6 through 8, it says this. "Then he said to me, 'This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel.'" That is hard to say. "'It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, "May God bless it. May God bless it." Then another message came to me from the Lord. "Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me." And this is the special verse. "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." Oftentimes we might have a big vision of what's to come and what we want to see happen, right? But we have to understand that God leads us through sometimes small beginnings. I mean, this church plant is a perfect example of something that is going to have small beginnings. But I really believe that if we are faithful in the small beginnings, the things that we are presented with first, that we have to deal with, grow with, and overcome, that this is going to be a mighty light in this community and beyond. But we can't despise small beginnings. Sometimes, you know, if we came from a church that has everything in place, you might be frustrated. You might say, you know what? I really wish we had a bigger kids ministry. I wish we had a men's leader and a women's leader and all these kind of things that we would have in place in a church that's been existent for a long time. But ultimately, those things will come in time as God directs and as God brings those people into this church. But until then, we can't resent or despise small beginnings, because it's in the small beginnings that a truly big flame will grow. We can't start with everything big. We have to start with the small things. And so it is in our own lives, right? When we're trying to do something and move into a different area, we might have small beginnings. God might just put a small thing in front of us for us to deal with, and then we're going to be faithful in little, and then God will give us much. Amen? So do not despise small beginnings. The second lesson from the campfire is we need to work at it. So almost always you have to play with the fire, especially if you like fire, okay? I like fire, so I stand in front of it and I play with it and I stuff things and I move things around. But ultimately, right, maybe you get the fire started, but you realize you have to move some of the logs around. You have to get a little bit more oxygen underneath. Maybe you have to fan it with a paper plate to get it going so it really kicks in, right? We have to work at our fire to get the fire to be the biggest and the best that it could be. Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only is in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So just as if we have to work out a fire, maybe not with fear and trembling, but we constantly have to work at it to get it to be the biggest and brightest flame, then it's going to be the same thing with our own salvation, the same thing with our walk with God. We need to work that out with fear, meaning respect of God, and trembling, knowing that God has got something exciting, amazing for us, for just you. Fear and trembling. So how do we work out our faith? Well, if we were going to work out our fire, we might feed the fire. We might put more logs on it, right? The same thing with us. We need to feed our spirit. So we feed that fire through God's word. Matthew 4:4 says, "He answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" All right, we live and we sustain and feed ourselves in God's word. I'm going to use this moment for a small commercial. In your bulletin, you might have seen that we are encouraging people to participate in the Daniel fast. If I were to, you know, Leighton, can you do me a favor? I have a water on the back table next to the light board. Could you get it for me or just give me that one? Thanks. True confessions. I did the Daniel fast about 2 years ago with another church when I was in between churches. And the true confession is, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. The first week was awful. Okay, I'm going to tell you that right now. Because I had a migraine for a week. Daniel fast has you give up caffeine and sugar and a lot of things that we accustomed eat day to day to day. And I didn't realize how much my body had become hungry for things that were really not healthy for me. And so for that whole week, I had a migraine headache, and I had cramps in my legs where I couldn't sit still. Tom, towards the end of the week, he's like, "I don't like you on this. I don't like you on this." But I'll tell you, just like any other time in your life, when you're going through the most difficult time, it is a time of spiritual renewal where you focus on God the most. All right? I kept praying to God, "God, you've got to deliver me through this. God, you've got to get me through this. Only through your spirit can I do this. I cannot do this in my flesh. I want to have sugar. I want to have a cup of coffee." So only through God can we do those things. And that is the point of a fast, okay? It's not a diet. It's not because, you know, we want to lose weight or maybe it's trendy. It's because we truly want to feed our spirits. So we deny the flesh, and we feed our spirits on God's word through devotions, through prayer. And God will meet you in a way that you've never seen before. It's based on the book of Daniel. And there's two different fasts that Daniel does in the book of Daniel. And so in a combination of those two things is where they kind of come up with a Daniel fast. So if you can see in the bulletin, there's a book that I found really helpful during that, when I was doing it the last time, because there's recipes in there and there's devotions in there. So just prayerfully consider if this is something you would like to do. I know I didn't sell it very well because I don't know how miserable I was. But honestly, it was a great time because by the end of the 21 days, I felt amazing. I had wonderful time with God, and my body was so happy for having purged myself of all the garbage that I had been eating. So I just encourage you, we're going to start that in September for 21 days before we launch our small groups and then our missions convention in November. So we have a busy fall, a lot of really cool things. So that was my advertisement. Going back to God's word. So we feed ourselves through God's word. And then also, think about all the oxygen you need to build a good fire, right? And it reminds me of God's Spirit, the fresh blowing of God's Spirit in our life. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. There's something really powerful about being in unity. Amen? If everybody's kind of looking in the same direction and has one heart, one mind, because we serve one Lord, right? For all in unity. It says, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, honestly, without the Holy Spirit, we're dead. As the fire without oxygen is dead. If you were to, you know, you have a candle and you put a cup over it, what happens? Goes out, right? We know that. But how do we not see that in the Spirit, right? If we don't have a fresh infilling of God's Spirit in our lives, we become dead. And so that's what we need. We need God's Word and His Spirit. The third point, no matter how bright the fire is burning, it's possible to put it out with a drenching of water. So I have two parts to this one. First, don't be a fire killer, okay? We all know people that like to drench people, soak people, put out their fire, okay? Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Do not, it says in the Bible, do not quench the Spirit. When we see people that are all excited about something, shouldn't we be like, yay, you're excited, yeah, keep it up. We want to be encouragers. We want to be able to not be a wet blanket. Ever hear that phrase, right? A wet blanket. Well, what does a wet blanket do? If I was on fire, it smothers the fire, right? We don't want to be the wet blanket. We don't want to quench the Spirit. The other part of that is it's impossible to fully quench the fire of God. Now, in the natural, we can soak a fire with a hose and maybe it'll go out, right? But the fire of God is something that in the natural or in the spiritual, we cannot fully quench because God's fire is based in love. God is love. In Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6 through 7, and we've sung this song before here, but it says, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. It flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. Amen? God's love is something that cannot be put out. It might feel like it sometimes. Sometimes we might feel like the fire has gone out in our spirits. But truly, once God gets a hold of you, gets a hold of your heart, and His Spirit lives within you, we cannot put that out, right? He says, nobody can snatch you from my palm. It says that in the Bible that love covers a multitude of sins. The covering of God allows us to burn brighter. So unlike the wet blanket, unlike the soaking of water, That's going to feed our fire. Woody likes to go and use our campsite as well. As a matter of fact, when we signed up for the campsite, we put his name on the form, so he's an official member of our campsite. And Woody made a fire the other day and put it out, so we thought. And after he left, guess what happened? Came back. And he was duly reprimanded with love. So here's my fourth point. Even if the fire seems to be out, sometimes the embers can be rekindled into a new and greater fire, right? Think about some of the, when people didn't have a lot of things to build fires with and start them, you know, matches and things like that. You know, you might have had the flint. They would let the embers burn, and then the next morning kindle them back up into a fire to cook breakfast again, right? So the same way with us. Sometimes it feels like our fire might be out. I've been there. Has anybody been there before? I mean, truth be told, sometimes it feels like the fire is out. But just like a fire in the natural, there is something that can happen that stirs it up again, and that the fire can come back. Sometimes it's just an encounter with God in church. Sometimes it's a kind word from somebody that we know. Sometimes it's somebody continually praying and interceding for us that moves something in our spirit, and the fire begins to come back again. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 10 says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying out of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And I'm going to go on to the next part, which is therefore, right? When we're fanning the flame, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We rekindle the fire not just for us, but for the power that has in bringing the gospel to other people. To rekindle your first love. You hear that? Sometimes we need to remember what it felt like when we first encountered God, when we first encountered Christ, to understand that he loves us beyond anything that we could think or imagine. That he created you for a plan and a purpose specific just to you, and to remember what that felt like. I have to think back sometimes of what it felt like. For me, it felt like somebody just took a scrub brush and started to scrub me from the inside out. There was so much stuff in there that had to get out. And then I remember feeling like it just came, like, through crying and weeping and pouring my heart out at the altar, where God just did a cleansing work. And I have to remember that, how grateful I was that God saw fit to love me so much, to pull me up out of the miry clay, to make something of my life, so much more than I could have done on my own. So I encourage you to rekindle your first love. And like the second part goes, is because once we become that fire, once we become on fire for God, there's something very attractive about that. Think about what happens if somebody builds a big fire. If you've ever been over somebody's house and they're like, "Oh, I'm going to have a bonfire in my backyard," what does everybody do? Once everybody comes around, the fire is built, everybody's like, "Oh," everybody comes to the fire, right? There might be good food out in the kitchen and other things going on, but once the fire is built, there's something instinctive and we all kind of gather around it. And that's what becomes the center of our attention, like moths to the flame. And so it is. It says in God's word too, Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men so that we can glorify God." Let your light shine. That light is what attracts people, right? If we're kind of down in the dumps, if we're feeling like the the wet fire, like our wood is all soaked and we got nothing. There's nothing attractive about a wet fire. Think about a fire after you put it out, right? The logs are all charred, it's soaking wet, there's nothing attractive. You're like, where was the glory of where it was before? When it was all glowing and fabulous and warm, and I felt comforted by that, and I could cook my food over it, it has purpose, it has excitement. But when you look at it after the fact, it just doesn't look the same, does it? We want to be those people that are on fire so that we're attracting people and sharing the gospel of God. That's where people are changed. That's where people are transformed. That's where change happens. It's not in being soaking wet and not on fire. Amen? The purpose of gathering here on Sunday morning, yes, we want to be encouraged. Yes, we want to hear God's word. Yes, we want to be able to encounter God and have a time together in fellowship, right? Because in Ephesians it tells us, do not forsake gathering around God's people, as some are like to do, right? We don't want to forsake the meeting with God's people. Did I just quote that wrong?
Sorry.
But it's not just for us, right? Your salvation is not just for you. We want to make sure that we keep rekindling our flame because it's not only does it work in us, but it helps do a work in other people. We gather because we want more people to know who Christ is. We gather because we want more people to know who God is. We want to see change in our community. We want to see positive change in our community. I mean, there's a lot of change that can happen for all the wrong reasons, but don't you want to be a change agent for good? Don't you want to make a difference in your community, in your job, in your family? Well, it only comes from really, truly being on fire for God. Being on fire for God, filled with God's Spirit, filled with His Word, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that He has called you, that He has plans and purposes for you. Even when it gets difficult, that we hold fast and we keep kindling that flame. Don't let other people put it out. Don't let people be negative on you. Don't let people throw water all over your flame. Focus on God. Don't listen to that. I think it's true that everyone needs to rekindle their flame at least once in their life, okay? If not many times. And that's okay. You know, when it says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, it's because it takes work. Right? We don't just kind of like say, God, I want to follow you, and everything just falls into place. It takes work, right? Can anybody attest that it takes work? Like any good relationship in our lives, in your marriages, your families, it takes work. And so I'm going to invite you to bow your heads this morning. God, we come before you knowing that you truly have called us, that you've created us, that you know us intimately, God, that you've created us in our mother's womb, that you know the number of the hairs on our heads, and that you love us with wild abandon, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, that you love us, that you see us as beautiful children. And God, I know that no matter what we've been through, what the past 7 days has yielded, the past 365 days, that you are faithful. It is your heart, God, that none should perish, that all come to repentance and follow Jesus. God, we also know that just the walk along can be difficult sometimes, and that there are valley times and mountain times. And for those of us that are going through a valley time right now, God, I pray, Lord, that your presence be so real that they would be able to call upon your name in the dark and know that you are the light unto their path and on their feet, God, that they would know where they were going, that you are guiding them, even though they can't see where they're going and where the next step would be, oh God, that in the darkness that you are there. Your presence guides us. It's like a gentle hand on our elbow as we walk sightless through some situations. And God, for those of us that are shouting from the mountaintop or the rooftops like we did this morning, God, that we are in a time of victory, celebration, things are going great. God, we want to make sure that we honor you this morning, God, that you are the reason that we shout. You are the reason for our victory, that your plans and purposes have directed us into these times where we can rejoice and feel that your light is shining so brightly upon us that we have no doubt. We thank you, Lord, that your spirit blows as it does, and that if our fires have gone dark, Lord, that you can continue to breathe life back into them. Thank you, God. With all heads bowed, I just ask, as your pastor, so that I know so I can pray for you, if there is anyone in here this morning that is really struggling with having your fire rekindled and to recommit your walk with him this morning, I would ask that you just raise your hand where you are. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. For those that are struggling, God, with their walk with you and seek a fresh infilling of your spirit, oh God, we just pray for them this morning, God, that your the fire that you have, that all-consuming fire would begin to rekindle anew in their lives. A fresh walk with you, a fresh desire for your word, a fresh desire for communion with you. And that our prayer life would reflect that, God, that we would begin to pray and talk with you each and every day. Help us, Lord, to continue to walk in the plans and purposes that you have for us this morning, God. May we be fire bearers, light bearers, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, as we come before you, God, and close in worship this morning, I pray, Lord, that this time of worship has been a pleasing sacrifice to you, O God, that this would have been a blessing for you as our Heavenly Father, to be able to witness our worship in our hearts and our desire to walk with you. I pray, God, your blessing upon your people as they come and they go. Keep us safe. Keep us from sickness, oh God. And continue to provide those opportunities for us to share our light, to share our fire, our flame. May we have eyes to see those that might need a spark. Let us be fuel for the flame and not water. And I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.